This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:07 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. Now, a new landmark study from the University College London, or UCL, has found that our smartphones have now become our homes. So while that sinks in, let me just explain what the study ran through. So essentially, the way the finding is described is that humans have now become human snails carrying our homes in our pockets, which is a very evocative way of saying that people now feel the same way about our phones as we used to about our homes. And this is an anthropological study. Again, it's from UCL, and they spent more than a year, the researchers, documenting the way older adults use their smartphones in 9 countries around the world. And if we look at what Professor Daniel Miller, who led the study, said, he said the flip side is that for human relationships at any point, whether it's a meal or a meeting or any other shared activity, the person we're with can just disappear because they're going back home into their phone. And essentially that we might become so engrossed in our smartphones that we ignore friends and family and disengage to go home, which means retreating into our phones. And there are a couple of things I think that are especially interesting about the study. So the researchers actually have identified what they think is one specific cause for why we've made this shift, and that is chat apps like WhatsApp. And they say that that is essentially the heart of the smartphone. If you look at how users across different regions do it, this single app does represent the most important thing that the smartphone does for them, because it keeps everybody in touch. It's a way to share photos, share updates, stay connected. And even if it isn't WhatsApp per se, it is the equivalent of whatever that may be in the country. So LINE in Japan, WeChat in China, and the like. The other thing, and this is something I mentioned in brief earlier, is that the study focused on older adults. So neither the young nor the elderly. And they wanted to focus on older adults, even though, I think particularly because they are less studied in this area, right? We often hear about how smartphones impact the young, impact the particularly elderly, but not necessarily people who might just be in their middle age and using their smartphones. So they thought that this gives them the best representation of what the phone actually means to people. They also pointed out that the smartphone may end up reducing the feeling of your physical home as a place of refuge, because if your home has been emotionally replaced by your smartphone, it is a home where people can just kind of walk in and out, because you'll still be, people do work on their phones. People talk to their friends on their phones. People get cyberbullied on their phones. So unlike a traditional home where you could go in, shut the door and really be away from everybody, your phone kind of doesn't give you those neat boundaries. They do also, however, say that there is a silver lining, which is that the smartphone has helped to reestablish connections with extended families and create new spaces for debate and conversation. And I think, if we think about the study as a whole, not just the silver lining, which makes sense, but also about everything it's saying, I don't think that I've necessarily thought about it in those terms, that my phone is my home. I'm still not sure that I necessarily feel that way. But I think in terms of importance, it's pretty difficult. It's pretty difficult to disengage, I think, from the phone in general as something that is very crucial to us in our day-to-day lives. Because even if you forget your car keys, for example, you can still get around with your phone. Even if you forget your wallet, if you have an e-wallet, if you have some sort of app, you will still be able to pay, so it can replace your physical wallet. So I think it's fair to say that the phone has absolutely replaced a lot of physical items in our lives. The home, though, that's an interesting one. So that's the question for this hour, at least. Do you think of your phone as your home, as a place that you can disengage from the rest of the world and seek refuge in, essentially? Let us know what you think. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we will be talking about the ramifications of this study with Dr. Chua Suk Ning, clinical psychologist and founder of Relate Malaysia. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9. It's 5:13 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. Our focus for the first part of our show today is a new study from University College London, which has found that our smartphones have essentially become our homes, at least emotionally speaking. And this is from an anthropological study that spent more than a year documenting the way older adults use their smartphones in 9 countries around the world. So we want to know, I don't think we were one of the 9 countries, but nonetheless, do you identify with the statement, right? Do you think that your smartphone is your home, or is your phone very important to you? You know, how do you feel about that? If it is, you can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Talking to us now about this is Dr. Chua Suk Ning, clinical psychologist, founder of Relate Malaysia. Suk Ning, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Lynn.
So I have to start with, do you identify with the statement? Do you think that your smartphone has become a home of sorts for you?
That's a tough question. I'll go yes and no. Like, the relief that I have coming home is still there, you know, after a long day and I reach home. I think there's a certain amount of relaxed feeling that you have. But I think I feel the loss of not having a phone. So I think it has become, in a sense, a security device, a security blanket, if you may.
And how do you think this ends up playing out in terms of people's behaviours? You know, the study looks at the way people withdraw and disengage and just go, quote unquote, home to their phones. Have you seen this occurring in social settings?
I think so. I think all of us have, right? Mm. You know, you see people having meals next to us and everyone's on their phone, or even our own family at a family table. And everyone is keen to check their phone. So I think it's a very easy way for us not to pay attention to the people around us, right? It's to avoid whatever unpleasant trees they are and to satisfy everything else that we need by a click of a button, although it's not really a clicking anymore, a touch of a button.
Just a light tap for most of us.
A light tap, that's
yeah.
Right.
I guess I'm also curious, and particularly looking at the age group, right, that they studied within this, which were older adults. So we're not talking necessarily about young people. We're not talking about adolescents. We're not talking about the elderly. So we're talking actually about people who would have been taught social niceties, who would have been taught how to engage with people in person, and are now finding a whole new layer to perhaps not do that. What do you think are the downsides of you know, exhibiting this behavior, particularly when you kind of were raised to know better?
I think, well, we do see a lot of older adults connecting to their friends over the phone. So I think to some degree that phones have become the mode of communication. And, you know, with WhatsApp and those social media apps, that has only increased, especially I think a lot of them are bored. You know, so older people have this certain level of like nothing else. They're not really engaging in things that are giving meaning to their lives as much, or their activities have been scaled down. They're not allowed, you know, quote unquote, to do a lot of things. So I think this, again, has become a replacement. The downsides of it it may not be growing your mind. So depending on what activities you're doing on your phone, whether or not they're building your new neuronal connections, despite of what age you are, or is it actually giving you a sense of engagement, a sense of flow? We talked about flourishing, you know, or is it that there's a rebound effect that's been shown in the literature? When people switch off their phones, they feel the loneliness even so much more, you know, so that's the downside of it.
Which leads me to this statement that came from Prof. Daniel Miller, who led the study, and I found it quite striking. So he said, we are learning to live with the jeopardy that even when we are physically together, we can be socially, emotionally or professionally alone. How would you respond to that statement?
I agree with that. I think it takes real discipline not to keep checking your phones. And I have attentional issues, so it's very difficult. The phone has become my, I guess, a sophisticated spinner. But it really requires you, I think, to put it aside and to pay attention and to really focus on what's in front of you. So I think that creates that distance that Professor Daniel is talking about.
And do you think that the relative isolation that a lot of us has been living in, right, with the lockdowns, not just here in the country, but around the world, has led to or perhaps made this behaviour more pressing?
Actually, I hope that the lockdown has led to maybe a better use of our smart devices. And I know we have been over Zoomed, but it does give you a better connection than just text or just forwarded messages. So hopefully with the lockdown, people can find a better connection if it wasn't available. Of course, if you had that physical reality there and you could connect with someone physically, then this is a poor substitute for that.
How can we address that rebound effect? So I think, again, just as we would have seen a lot of people retreating into their phones, I think many of us will also be familiar with that feeling of, oh, okay, well, I've stopped scrolling now. I've stopped doom scrolling and I'm kind of at a loss and, you know, I don't know how to feel. How can we address that feeling?
Recognizing that all of us actually want to be loved and want to love. So I think, on social media, on our phones, it's very easy to put on a persona. You know, if we're annoyed at someone, we just don't text back. We put it aside. But if the person was in front of us, we wouldn't be able to do that. So perhaps one way is to recognize that, yes, actually, we want a deeper connection or we need a deeper connection to have a sense of well-being, and that not and to carry out that deeper connection, a deeper sort of relationship, even over the phone. If you're angry at the person, don't just avoid, but let that person know, just as you would in real life. So I think in that way, it would play less of a substitute, but then would be a tool for you to actually build closer connections.
There has always been, or there has been for some time, criticism about smartphones. And I think studies like this will continue to contribute to that, right? That it isn't something that is particularly natural to us, that it is affecting us badly in terms of our social skills, our emotional skills. What do you make of these sorts of criticisms, especially considering the silver linings that we've also been talking about?
It's here to stay. So I think, you know, it's like, I don't know, if we were in the caveman days, you know, fire was fire's a bad master, but a good servant. And I think that's the same for smartphones or any technological advances. It's a good servant. And we have to make sure we understand what it's supposed to be serving, right? If it's supposed to be serving our need for connection, then we have to make it that way. And we have to realize that if it's not, if we have that rebound effect of emptiness, maybe you don't need to keep scrolling on Instagram for an hour, you know, limit it to 5 minutes, but that's about it. And then do other activities on your smart device or in person that gives you that sense of connection.
If we think about the traditional role of the home, right, it's a place where you return to after a day of being outside, of being school or work, and then you shut the door and theoretically you leave all that behind. But the smartphone doesn't have those kinds of limits. You have your email sitting right next to your WhatsApp, you know, and you are still connected to all these outside things. What effect does this have? And, you know, are there measures we should be taking to draw clear lines between the work and the rest that we do on our phone?
That's a great question. And a lot of companies now are looking into it, and they realize that burnout rates are higher because of their lack of clear boundaries. And I recognize that often it could be driven by the company culture of maybe employers texting you late at night. There is room for you to say no, for you to shut down certain apps, for you not to respond. And I think if we can... We have to do that. We have to take those clear boundaries for us. Just as if we imagine if our boss came knocking on our doors at home 11 p.m. every night, eventually we probably will have to say something. So that's the same, you know, it's invasive to have all the text messages and emails coming in. And for me, one of the reasons why sometimes it is hard to reach me is because now my phone is always on silent mode, because it's just too much, too many text messages coming in, too many dings. And so that's for me one way that I then control when I look at the messages, when I respond. And so I think that's necessary for all of us, and to figure out where our boundaries are so that we can get that rest that we need, even if it means missing a couple of messages, because honestly, we're not that important in the grand scheme of things. It's okay, you know, it's okay if we don't reply straight away.
You know, Sukning, I think that we've had a number of helpful tips kind of littered throughout our chat, but I thought we could compile. So if someone listening really does identify with this idea that, oh no, you know, I do think the smartphone is my home, or I do retreat to it very often, and perhaps that's costing me some relationships in real life, what are some steps that they can take in order to try and kind of address that and, I guess, deal with it?
Yeah. First of all, you don't want to really connect with everyone that's on your phone, right? So identify which are the valuable relationships that you want to connect with. And then make sure that you're when you do connect, you're saying meaningful things. One way is you don't need to text. Now I know that is an annoying thing, but you can leave voice messages, you know, have calls instead. One of the reasons for text is not it loses a lot of meaning because it loses tone. You know, the person doesn't hear your voice. And one way to draw closer to someone is for that person to hear your voice and understand the nuances in the tone and what you're saying. So that's one way, you know, value your time, value the people that you chose to spend time with, and make sure that the interactions are meaningful, not just often, but they're good in quality, not just quantity. And then after that, don't be afraid to draw boundaries. Don't be afraid to lose or miss out a couple of messages or invites, you know. FOMO will pass, you know. Yeah. Just ride the wave of anxiety and FOMO will pass, and you thank yourself that you got the rest that you need.
And what about having that conversation with the people in your life who you notice doing that, right? Who, when you are sitting down at a meal, everybody whips out their phones right away, or with a parent or a child. I think there are a variety of situations in which you do find yourself being on the other end of that, the person who's being ignored. How do you have that conversation?
That's a tough one because nobody wants to nag, right? And there's the fine line between, yeah, why are you so like that? So I think if you can find a way to say, hey, you know what? I'm saying something important, or I really want to have a conversation with you. Maybe that's a better way than saying, please put away your phone, you know, okay, focus on what you want to do and point out that, like, it's hard to talk to you when you keep looking at your phone.
Sukning, thank you so much for speaking with us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
That was Dr. Chua Sukning, clinical psychologist and founder of Relate Malaysia, talking to us about a study from UCL, which I'm just going to say it again because as a finding, it's kind of profound. So they found that our smartphones have now become our homes. In fact, they go so far as to say humans have become human snails carrying our homes in our pockets. And I'm curious to know whether this is something that you agree with, that you identify with. I said earlier that for me, not so much, but I can see some of the very clear ways in which it has replaced. I mean, if you think about the ways in which we used to switch off, right? I think a lot of people would go home, turn on the TV, and now instead you go home and you get on social media. It's also replaced, in many ways, our wallets. It's replaced, I don't know. I mean, if you think about the variety of apps on there, it's replaced so much. So do you think of your smartphone as your home? Have you found this to be an issue for you? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at PFM Radio. We'll be back with your messages after this. Right now, Blondie with Hanging on the Telephone, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.